Morning. Welcome to Christ Chapel. My name is Brian Conkle. On behalf of the Chaplain's Office and all of us here at Gustavus Adolphus, we welcome you on this Sunday of Family Weekend. A special thank you to all of our students that will be participating as musical leaders. I think there's about 1.4 million of them here. Adolphus Jazz Ensemble, the Choir of Christ Chapel, the Christ Chapel Brass, the Christ Chapel Ringers, the Gustavus Wind Symphony, and Lucia Singers. It's just an absolute delight in the spirit of the Lutheran tradition and the appreciation for music to have you here with us on this Sunday morning. Also, a special thank you to those assisting in worship, our readers, hospitality ministers, and sacristans, those that are here each and every Sunday for the Christ Chapel Sunday worshiping community. And of course, a very special thank you to Dr. Chad Winterfelt, the cantor of Christ Chapel here at Gustavus Adolphus, who has been successfully making order out of chaos, especially the last few hours. And so thank you to Chad for bringing this all together. You'll notice, for those of you new to Christ Chapel, please do note that in the bulletin, you'll see different hymns, and they'll say the letters ELW next to them. That is out of this red hymnal here. There's two relatively red hymnals somewhere near to you. This one has worship on the side of it. Please know that we'll be singing hymns from the ELW. Also note that today we will be serving the sacrament of Holy Communion. All who are here are invited to participate in the sacrament. We will commune by method of intinction. You will receive a wafer and you will dip it into the chalice. The chalice has two different sections in it. One, the darker substance, which has wine, and the lighter substance, which has grape juice. Please do know that because of the symphony and the different ensembles up here, we will commune from the back by the baptismal font. So a little bit counterintuitive, but that's all right. So the last will be first, and the first shall be last. How about that? So those of you in the back row, tricks on you, you will be in the front row. How about that? So again, Chaplain Siri will make note of that again during communion, but please do know what we will commune from the back. With that being said, I invite you to stand as we begin our opening dialogue this morning.
Gracious God, Spirit of life, source of possibilities, breathe life into us this day.
Breathe life into us this day.
As we gather on this day of celebration, let us embody life in its fullness in all that we do. O God, breathe life into us this day.
Breathe life into us this day.
As we listen and ponder, as we deepen and explore, as we laugh and play, as we live this day with integrity, as we live this day in community, O God, breathe the fullness of life into us this day.
Breathe the fullness of life into us this day.
Thank you.
God of majesty, whom saints and angels delight to worship, pour out your spirit on your servants, who with the gifts of music enliven our praises and proclaim your word with power. Through this ministry, give us new awareness of your beauty and grace. And join our voices with all choirs of heaven, both now and forever, through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated.
Our first reading is from Psalm 150. Praise God. Praise God in the sanctuary. Praise God in the mighty firmament. Praise God for mighty deeds. Praise God according to surpassing greatness. Praise God with trumpet sound. Praise God with lute and harp. Praise God with tambourine and dance. Praise God with strings and pipe. Praise God with clanging cymbals. Praise God with loud crashing cymbals. Let everything that breathes praise God. Praise God. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Our second reading is from the fourth chapter of Philippians. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guide your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and he thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said no to him. Then he said, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." The good news given for you.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Mind your manners. Keep your elbows off the table. Don't play with your food. And please don't chew with your mouth open. It's quite rude. Don't leave the fridge open. Don't slam the car door. Don't throw empty cans and boxes all over the floor. Please don't fight with your roommate. Don't pull the campus cat's tail. That one burned a little bit, didn't it? Yeah. Don't read your classmates' text or email. Don't pester your professors. Don't stick out your tongue. And please, please, please don't do what your parents did when they were so young. Don't point and don't yell when the music is playing. Do what you know you should do. Write kind notes. forgive others, and of course, do not forget to say please and thank you. Mind your manners. An admittedly amateur poem, nevertheless, one that could be printed and pasted upside down on the shirt of each and every graduate of Gustavus Adolphus College, so they can always look down and read it over and over and over and over again. Why? So that all can be mindful of their manners. Why? Because manners matter. Manners do matter. Whether it's children spending the night at a friend's house, or emerging adults being dropped off for college, or perhaps even a young professional in preparation for an important job interview, we tell those that we care about to mind their manners, because those who care about us told us to mind our manners, because across the span of time, manners do certainly matter. This is the case now. This was the case 2,000 years ago, even for 10 lepers seeking to be healed by the Son of God, which we heard about just a few moments ago. In our gospel lesson for this morning, in the 17th chapter of Luke's gospel, Jesus encounters a group of 10 people, and these 10, they are lepers. They are socially marginalized, and they are branded as public outcasts. The 10 approach Jesus with a passionate plea for healing, and in response, Jesus instructs them to go and show themselves to the local priest, promising by implication that in doing so, the 10 will be made clean. And indeed, as the 10 travel, they are made well, collectively cleansed of their debilitating infirmity. It's awesome. Now, the narrative could have ended right there, but it continues. And in verse 15, when one of the 10 notices what has happened, he is mindful of his manners. And he turns back to express the particular manner, the manner of gratitude, falling at Jesus' feet to give thanks for all that he has wonderfully received. Now, at this point, it's important to make a few points. First, the other 9 who did not return to give thanks are by no means the villains of this story. For those of us in this space who have never before been lepers, and I'm assuming that's most of the people here, I think it's safe to say we should cut the 9 a little bit of slack. I think they burned it. Considering how difficult their situation had been, considering how exciting it must have been to receive such a new lease on life, and considering how excited we often get for things that are by no means even close in comparison, we should resist the temptation to make the 9 who did not return the label of ungrateful scoundrels. If we do, we are missing the point. Besides, the 9 actually did what they were told, and also presumably enjoyed the blessing of Jesus' healing. However, it is worth noting that the one who did turn back, the one who was mindful of the manner of gratitude, not only did this one see that he was healed, but he was in many ways blessed a second time, as if he had received the blessing all over again. And this, I think, is an important point. Not only was the one made well like the other 9, but in going back and giving thanks, he was blessed once more. As in verse 17, Jesus invites the man to rise and go on his way, declaring that his faith has made him not only physically well, but fully and entirely whole. So what this means is that not only did the one receive the blessing of healing as did the other 9, but in recognizing it, in seeing it, embracing it, and in giving thanks for it, he received the gift of wholeness and a taste of life in its fullness. This is an example of how and why being mindful of our manners does indeed matter. Because when manners matter, not only are we blessed, but we recognize our blessings. And in giving thanks, we in turn receive and share this all-encompassing gift of life in its fullness. In other words, the love of God will shine down regardless, as that's what amazing grace is all about. But in being mindful of such amazing grace and giving thanks, it's like receiving it over and over and over and over again. Manners matter. They matter. And I think that this is a message particularly poignant in days such as this. We seem to be living at a time when far too many people are of the belief that manners don't matter. Whether it's giving thanks for what we have received or countless other examples when we have opportunities to give for others. We are living at a time in which being mindful of manners and being committed to so-called political correctness is viewed as an annoying sign of weakness. And all too often we are told that harsh and brash, bombastic blustering, without concern for anyone else, is some badge of bravery. We are living at a time when a disturbing number of people argue that it's perfectly acceptable to be unapologetically rude, just as long as being rude is speaking one's mind, whatever that even means. And instead of giving thanks for the countless gifts we receive each and every day by seeking to share such giftedness with others, a segment of our population is telling us that it's perfectly acceptable not to care about anyone or anything. We're told it's fine to destroy the planet. Who cares about our kids? We're told it's okay to insult veterans and trivialize truth-telling and threaten the freedom of the media. We're told it's fine to mock those who are differently abled and encourage espionage and celebrate violence. We're being told it's justifiable to dehumanize immigrants and criminalize Muslims and put profit before people. And in the past 48 hours, we have been told that it's okay to denigrate women. And we have been told that sexual harassment and assault is acceptable if you're famous. We've been told that a lifetime of grotesque and unapologetic sexism and the endorsement of rape culture is somehow suitable if you're running for president. As a parent, as a husband of a beautiful little girl, as a follower of Jesus Christ, it makes me want to vomit. As of late, we're told it's okay not to strive to be a decent human being, just as long as you're trying your best to get what you want. How did we get to this point? How did we get here? One can persuasively argue that being mindful of one's manners and embracing so-called political correctness has become the complaint of choice for those who simply do not like diversity and equity in our human family. For men who fear their power is being taken over by women. For white people who fear their racial privilege is slipping away. Even for Christians who are afraid to see their religious freedoms extend to those not committed to their particular creed. In the midst of it all, in a diverse an inequitable human family that is fast changing as ours, there is indeed a debate that we should have about how we interact with one another. And it's a difficult debate. But Jesus has something to say about this. In the 17th chapter of Luke's Gospel, he shows that being a community works best when we have respect for one another, when we choose to be civil with one another, and when we commit to being inclusive of each other to avoid unnecessary offense and to behave in ways that provide the totality of the human family with diverse and equitable opportunities. In Luke's gospel, Jesus models this radical hospitality by crossing boundaries, by wandering into the places and spaces he is told by some not to go, and healing people whom the world has wanted to dispose of. Jesus models this for the sake of bringing life in its fullness, not just for one, but for all. And that's why manners matter. Manners are more than using the right salad fork or not slurping when you finish your slushy. Manners matter because, as Jesus revealed, people matter. Our communities matter. Life matters. And when we consider these larger and more universal manners that matter most, how we treat one another, it reveals whether or not we actually care about one another. Because at the heart of good manners is a good heart. And at the heart of every good individual are those that seek good lives alongside others. And it's only possible together because we are intimately and intricately bound to one another. Peter Forney, a professor at Johns Hopkins University, he remarked, and I love this, he said, "Manners are like the traffic lights for life." Manners are like the traffic lights for life. In a world of diverse vehicles moving in diverse directions into an equitable system that allows everyone to simply go where they want to go, the rules are the traffic lights of human interaction. They make it so that we don't crash into one another. And I would argue that gratitude is the most honorable manner of all. Gratitude draws us out of ourselves and pours us into something much larger, much greater, much more profound than ourselves. And it sets us free from fear, and it sets us free for one another. And this is what motivated the one to return to Jesus. In that moment, he realized he was more than just a foreigner, more than a Samaritan, more than just a marginalized social outcast. And he learned to see what Jesus had already seen, that he was a child of God, whole, beautiful, accepted. And that's what the other nine missed. By not practicing gratitude, they did not see their good fortune. They didn't voice their blessing. They missed out on being made whole. So what this means for me, and perhaps for you today, is perhaps it's time to take a fresh look at our world. Filled with troubles? Sure. Filled with blessing? Yes. Our world is filled with families that care for one another, colleagues who work hard and work well with each other, educational institutions where teachers care about their students and students are eager to live and to learn. We have a government that is far from perfect but strives to honor the dignity of its citizens. We have relief and advocacy agencies that seek justice, good neighbors who support one another. We have a community of faith where the word of God is preached, the life of faith is nourished, and the mission of God is advanced. And of course, thank God for music to help us through it all. The world is filled with both blessing and brutality. And today and beyond, when we are mindful of the manner of gratitude, the blessings ultimately multiply, and the challenges that we collectively face no longer seem so frightening or insurmountable. And as this cup of God's amazing grace overflows, it touches the ethically thirsty spaces and spiritually dehydrated places of our world, so dearly in need of hospitality and wholeness. And so, as this 150th psalm reminded us a moment ago, as we continue to celebrate this morning and far into the future, and as we continue to live with and for one another today and beyond, let us be mindful of the manner of gratitude. If there is one prayer we can teach each other and our children, it is the prayer of thank you, despite all the reasons we might have not to. As the psalmist reminds us, let us praise God in the sanctuary and on the streets. Let us praise God for all that God has done, is doing, and will continue to do. Let us praise God with trumpet sound, lute and harp, tambourine and dance, strings and pipe. Let us praise God with clanging cymbals, loud clashing cymbals. Let us praise God. Despite the cynicism and negativity and apathy, the temptations, urges, and false motivations, as the gospel promise compels us, let us praise God. Theater, dance, liturgical drama. Let us praise God with the Adolphus Jazz Ensemble. Let us praise God with the Gustavus Wind Symphony and delightful Lucia singers. Let us praise God with Christ Chapel Brass and glorious Christ Chapel ringers. Let us praise God with the choir of Christ Chapel today and tomorrow in mind, body, and spirit, inside and outside of this chapel. And despite all the reasons we might not have not to, let all that breathes praise God, so that all may breathe with God.
Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. God, as we celebrate Family Weekend here today, we give thanks for all who are gathered with us in this place. Bless all the reunions that have taken place this weekend. Comfort those whose families were unable to visit them, especially our out-of-state and international students. Foster peace and harmony between students and their families. Accept our greatest gratitude for all of our visitors and community members celebrating with us here today. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. God, once again, we are wonderfully overwhelmed by the offerings of music given by so many members of our community. We give thanks for the countless hours of practice our ensembles undertake to bring us these beautiful celebrations. We give thanks to our directors, instructors, and conductors who have dedicated themselves to guiding and encouraging our campus's musicians. And finally, we give thanks to all of you who are gathered here today to listen and to support. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God, as we celebrate unity, we cannot forget the ways that our campus, our community, and our country is divided. We pray that you guide us toward better understanding of each other, especially those we've been taught to hate or to ignore. Lift up the voices so often repressed and challenge us all to listen. Help us to see the diversity in unity and to practice your virtues of generosity and compassion, especially in times of conflict. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God, we pray for the places in our world marred by chaos and violence. We pray for those affected by Hurricane Matthew, including those who have lost their lives, those injured, and all who have lost their homes or been forced to evacuate. We continue to pray for the safety of the world's refugees and migrants, that they may find shelter and a new home. For these and other struggles, we pray for your guidance. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior. The peace of Christ is with you always. Please take a moment to share a word of peace with those near you. Let us pray. God of creation, all you have made is good, and your love endures forever. You bring forth bread from the earth and fruit from the vine. Nourish us with these gifts, that we might be for the world signs of your gracious presence. In Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. People of God, people of life, we gather as a holy communion for a meal that has been shared countless times, in countless places, and in countless ways. The first time this meal was shared, Jesus gathered around a table with a ragged collection of people, outcasts, betrayers, the power-hungry and fragile, lonely lost. The first time this meal was celebrated, Jesus promised that it was for all time, that whenever the bread was broken and the wine was poured, wherever the story was told around a table, he would be there. Today we remember the story. As it has been told 1,000 times over, we eat the bread and we drink the wine and we affirm that we all belong at this table and that Jesus is here. So if we come to this table angry, let this bread and wine be our peace. If we come to the table broken, let this bread and wine be our grace. If we come to the table betrayed, let this bread and wine be our wholeness. If we come to the table in despair, let this bread and wine be our life. For this is a holy table, with food to fill a hungry world and wine to quench thirsty hearts.
Thanks be to God.
When Jesus ate with his friends, he took bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Each time you do this, remember me." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he passed it to his friends, saying, "Drink, this cup poured out for you is the promise of God. Whenever you drink it, remember me." We remember Jesus' death and resurrection, our hope and our life. We break the bread and share one cup.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray as Jesus has taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Wherever you are in your journey with God, you are welcome to this meal of grace, forgiveness, and love. I invite you to be seated and to follow the instructions of your ushers as to where and when it is your turn to come for the meal in the back.
Thank you.
God of abundance, with this bread of life and cup of salvation, you have united us with Christ, making us one with all your people. Now send us forth in the power of your Spirit, that we may proclaim your redeeming love to the world and continue forever in the risen life of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
And may the God of all grace bless you now and forever. Amen. Please join me in once again thanking all of our student musicians for helping to lead this beautiful service. Notice all of the colorful ribbons hanging on the balcony. It's a sign of our interdependence with creation, and it comes to us through a partnership that we have with the River Prairie Network of the Interfaith Power and Light. So please enjoy that color as well. Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.